for the rest of us, episode 198. This is a show about all things Linux, whether it's hardware, software, whatever tickles our Linux fancy. I am Cody Cooper, a.k.a. Supercoop, and I am here joined by my good friend, the Door-to-Door Geek, a.k.a. Stephen McLaughlin. How's it going, Door?
Hey, Cody. Me, just loving wildlife and nature, and just can't wait for the next time I can hear the birds tweeting right outside my window. Can I buy strychnine or something, or like arsenic or something, and put it by my windows? I'm just wondering.
You can buy a lot of stuff online, but out of all the things that you would buy to get rid of a bird, that's like the last thing on my list.
Okay. Well, I already tried vinegar and water. That didn't do the trick.
Inside joke. All right, cool. Yeah. Hopefully, all of you hear me clearly now. I had some audio issues, which thank you for everyone who very kindly wrote in to let us know, hey, there's something going on with Cody's audio. I couldn't listen after a few minutes. There were many of you, which all that means to me is that several of you, many of you are passionate about the show and you want good audio quality. It was simply a piece of equipment on my part, and Dora and I got it reconfigured, so you should hear my smooth, bassy tones at this point and moving forward, because if it happens to go out of whack again, I know how to restore it myself and do some on-site testing. So thank you for that, Dora. It's been a few weeks. I want to say just got back, but it's been about a month now from Linux Fest Northwest, and once again another fantastic event. We had you, Dor, also Eric Ardini from the Mini PC Show and Android App Addicts flew out to Portland, and then the three of us, along with Chuck Litchfield and Martin Rambo Obando, drove up to Bellingham, Washington, and stayed the weekend there.
Yeah. Bellevue.
It was
Freudian slip there.
That's right. It was a fantastic event. I had a blast.
Oh yeah, great event, great people, and I'll put it this way. Eric Ardini is great people, period, no matter how you rank them, no matter how you rank anybody around you. Eric is always going to be among the better people around. And then you have Cody, then you have Martin, then you have Chuck, and then you have Josh, and then you have everybody else. It's just good people on top of good people. And then everybody I met at the conference, unbelievable top-tier people. If I could right now today get up and move, I would either move to Texas because there's no income taxes, or I would move up by you guys or up by Washington just because it seemed like the general demeanor of people was much nicer.
Yeah.
And I was told we don't have to worry about giving numbers when we book reservations anymore, because ever since something became legal, they don't do things like count anymore up there. Some people tell me, was everyone up there nice because of the legalization or decriminalization of said product? Or were they, like, which came first, chicken or the egg?
I can say from living up here, everybody's just as cranky and uptight as normal.
No, well, then you need to come to Baltimore if you want to experience cranky and uptight.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
But
it was a really good event, really good people. I got to say it again. And I actually did sit in on, I think, three talks this year, which is my probably record high. And every single one of those people were just well-educated people, very passionate, wanting to talk and convey messages and wanted to try to help people do some basic understanding of some advanced concepts. So, hats off. And they uploaded the stuff pretty quickly, I'll say.
Oh, yeah, within hours. I mean, all of it was up just hours after the fest, but every day they were uploading talks as they were happening. So, fantastic event. I went to quite a few talks. I wasn't awake for all of them, or all the way through all of them, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I had a great weekend. I sat through a terrible talk with Martin, and he knows what I'm talking about, and that's all I'm going to say about it. But, man, it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable because of what was happening around us. It was uncomfortable because of this, what the speaker was doing. It was just bad. But I'm not going to give any more details. But that was a minuscule half of a percentage compared to everything else awesome that happened. So if you live in the Northwest, or if you want to experience a good Linux Fest next year, early spring, April, May-ish, definitely consider going to Linux Fest Northwest. You can check out the website, linuxfestnorthwest.org. Follow them on Twitter and Google+. You can check out, like Dorf mentioned, a lot of the talks from this year and past years, so give it a try. But yeah, overall, very, very well run. I think it was their 11th or 12th year, something like that. But yeah, it was a good, good time, and I was glad to hang out with you guys in person again. It had been too long.
Absolutely. And I'll say, if you plan early or if you plan carefully, you can get uncommonly cheap airfare out in that neck of the woods, because my air flight both ways was less than $300. That's across the country. Eric came from Chicago area. His, I believe, round trip was only like $120. And we all split the hotel cost and the rental car cost, and I believe it technically cost him more in the hotel and rental car shared fee than it did for him to fly out, which is amazing.
Yes. Yeah, he had a ridiculous. And then we know someone that works for the airline, a listener of one of the shows, right?
Multiple. Turns out now we know two people who are pilots.
Well, but I'm talking specifically about, because Rick Crouch is a pilot, right? Or he at least works for an airline. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure he's a pilot.
I think.
And
we have another one, and then we have classic PC Freddy.
Oh, of course.
Technically a pilot.
Yes.
Just not commercial private jet thing. And then we have Rich or Hughes, who likes to crash planes a lot.
Oh man,
we have the whole spectrum.
I don't mean to get off on a tangent here, but did you see the photos of his slat wall coming down in his garage on top of that car of his?
Yeah, he was pretty upset.
Oh my god, yeah. And I've met the guy in person, and I can imagine him going off. And I got to admit, it was quite comical. But when I saw that, I've seen that in a retail setting in a back room with a lot of product, and it's probably a 12 by 8 foot piece of slat wall that by itself probably weighs 110 pounds, that was secured to the wall with six screws. Come on. I didn't see a lot of screws out of the back of that. So if he puts it back up, I hope he quadruples or in a multiple of 10 uses more screws, to it won't happen again.
Yeah.
All right. So what do we have on the docket this week?
Well, I first wanted to also say, when I was out there, I did get a chance to sit down and chat just a little bit with Penguin. Again, top tier support, top tier manufacturers, top tier distributors of all levels of hardware. Now they're really stretching out in everything that they do. And I will say, I had a chance to sit down and talk to both Chris, and I can never remember,
it was Hacker Bob,
the programmer's name.
Hacker Bob.
Unbelievably nice guys.
Super
unbelievably
cool.
Smart guys.
Who,
but I was so upset that they were not allowed to sell goods there, because I was ready to just literally throw.
Oh, yeah. I would have totally bought one of those little router deals.
Yeah.
Yeah. I apparently Bob was there last year, but I didn't see him. I only saw Chris at the booth. But Hacker Bob, we met at Northeast Linux Fest, I think 2012 or 2013. I met him at the after party, and he's a very, unique
passionate,
individual.
Smart?
No. He's a great guy, but he has a very, very unique look to him, especially his face. And I recognized him right away. And I remember having a fantastic conversation with him back at NELF about how he was using an old Lombard PowerBook G3, and he had installed Debian on it. And that just, because we were talking about, somebody showed like a little MP3 player where they had installed Doom on it, on this little like 1.5 inch screen or whatever. He's like, oh, yeah, that reminds me of the time that I had to do blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, my God, I have one of those at home. So we got to talk in. And, yeah, very, very cool guy. But, yeah, I was totally surprised to see him at the Think Penguin booth, because I didn't know he was associated with him. And more importantly, I didn't even know that he was there last year. So I'm glad I got to talk to him this year.
Yeah, I'll say Chris is the president, CEO, leader of the company. Hacker Bob is the complete IT staff. Nothing can happen realistically without Bob. He is the guy who knows how every piece of hardware, basically from the Commodore like VIC-20 up to today's supercomputer, I believe he's the guy who can literally rip anything apart and put it back together. But you mentioned Debian. Really quick note here on our notes, line 41, Cody. I redid my Lenovo Flex 15. I had old version of Voyager on it. I did install Budgie. We'll get back to that. And I just decided after a little bit, I needed a big change. I just needed something completely different. So then I didn't. I went back and I installed Voyager X Debian Jesse. I want to go with a Debian distribution for at least a little while. Stick with the source. Stick with, you know, what brought me to the dance kind of thing. Because that's what I really like about my Linux experience, is the stability I experience because of how I carefully henpick my distributions. And to me, it's hard to go wrong with Debian, and I'm really a fan of the Voyager interface. Even though it has some advanced features to it, it is very basic. There's not a lot to confuse you on it, I'll say. On the top left, you have a menu you can activate to get to like your start menu. You have a Docker plank bar you can put wherever you want. There is some quick keys over on the right-hand side to quickly launch some things. But I'm really just a fan of this French distribution. I think they get desktop UI like nailed down right. And I think just the desktop background is one of the few desktop backgrounds I actually keep up and running. I typically set my desktop background just to jet black, just flat black.
Oh, okay.
But with this one, I always seem to leave it.
Yeah, I'm not so much a sucker for aesthetics anymore. I would do like a minimal workspace, so I would just get out of the way. But I do like how the Voyager team has merged somewhat minimalistic properties with that really, that beautiful, I mean, if you think of really sort of beautiful desktop environments that you, like you would want to show someone to say, hey, this is possible on the platform that I use, you know, you think of, you know, Voyager, or you think of Elementary, you know, or any other distro that is possibly, you know, integrated. A special desktop environment, you know, with docs and things, you know, to make it look really, really flashy. But yeah, Voyager has always been on that high end of that scale, to the fact where I remember I installed it on a laptop a few years ago, and then, but it was just like I installed it and kind of played around with it for maybe 5 or 10 minutes and I was done. But based on me talking about it somewhere, that's where Jeff Owens heard about it. And he ended up, I think it's his main distro that he runs now and has for years now, and he even has it on some machines at work. And he and I were talking one day, and he's like, oh, I'm so glad you gave me all those pointers about Voyager and told me this and that. And I was like, oh, I remember installing it. I didn't really use it for that long. He's like, are you sure? I was like, oh, trust me, I'm sure. But I'm glad I could influence him in some way.
Yeah, there was two of them that me and Jeff got backwards. I can't remember what it was. Yeah, Voyager's turned out to be, I think, a really solid distro moving forward.
Definitely.
I did have installed for about a week, though, Ubuntu 16.04, but I installed the Budgie Remix. And it's not an official distribution. That's the real reason I went off of it. I want to stick with official long-term stability distributions. Now, apparently 16.10, they're looking at doing an actual official Budgie desktop.
Yeah.
But it isn't there yet. So I installed Budgie Remix 16.04, and it ran perfectly fine. The only things I had that I was looking for that I couldn't get, and there's the first thing. I wanted a little bit more out of a desktop than what it by default had. Me and Martin both like very slim panel bars in the top or bottom, or task bars. We don't like thick, bulky bars. So as soon as we go in, first thing we both tried to do was resize that top panel bar, and we could, but certain text on the bar would not resize. Like, we could not get the clock to go smaller font. It might be something we're doing, might not, might be something in the desktop itself. Well, except for that, I really like the start menu. I really like the idea, that pop-out menu on the side. But I don't really need a calendar that often. And that's like one of the big features. As soon as you pop out the side, there's a huge calendar there. So to me, the desktop is advancing remarkably well. If this was a person, it would be in high school. It wouldn't be completely graduated yet with a full-time job, looking to get married and kids, but it would be right there on the, dare I say, precipice of becoming a really, really good full-featured desktop. And I'll say uncommonly light. I was shocked at how... No, that's wrong. I was very impressed and very happy with as little resources as it used. But knowing Ikey, I kind of expected it to not be bloaty, to not be heavy, to not be dirty, to not be grungy, to not be brittle, to not be buggy. I mean, still, every time I load Ubuntu, Unity, I eventually will get pop-ups with error reports, and they always stem from a Unity. Even though I'm using Intel graphics, even though I have 16 gigs of RAM, even though I do everything by the book, I get those pop-ups. Every time I install Cinnamon or Mate, I always have some kind of issues with them happening. GNOME is the one I really don't have a lot of issues with, but with Budgie, I had zero issues for like the week that I did run it, so that made me feel good.
Huh. Yeah, I remember playing with it a bit while we were at Martin's home. and listening to your guys' comments, but I didn't really dive into it, and I have yet to install it myself. I may just wait, although I'm about to put OpenSUSE on the hard drive for my new main rig, which I'll get to in a minute. And I remember talking to Ike specifically saying that there is a version of Budgie available for that. So I might take it for a spin on there. But yeah, definitely looking forward to the official Ubuntu spin. And man, to think of how young that product is. I know that the project over the years has taken many forms, but to have it go from, you know, something that he was working on solely to now being an official Ubuntu spin in just a span of a few years, I mean, that just shows not only Ike's dedication individually, but the team that now surrounds him in that project and how far they've come. So congratulations to them, and I can't wait to see it in 1610.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I like being involved with things before their quote-unquote prime time. If you remember, Vivaldi was the browser. I know I brought to this show, I'm going to say at least a year ago. It might be close to a year ago. Because it was not ready for prime time yet, but it was really growing. It was really growing fast, and I really liked it. I think it's hysterical now how everybody, not everybody, a lot of people are saying, hey, there's this new browser. And then they say Vivaldi. I'm like, oh, you mean the one I've been using now for 10 straight months? Oh, yeah, that new browser. Budgie is advancing so quickly that it's going to be, I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb, I think it's going to dethrone some of the big boys on some distributions sooner rather than later, just because of its spit and polish. Because it does look really sharp. It does look really clean. It does look really good. And it's extremely light and bug-free. Like I said, he's going to have to, though, I think, incorporate theming and some kind of theming architecture, theming plugin. And that's when I think he's going to really hit the home run.
Yeah, I haven't really used it yet. I really should install it and give it a try. I've read quite a bit about it. And I like a lot of the features that they have announced for it. But now that there's... is it still in beta?
Well, it's not an official distribution or anything. I don't want to say it's beta. It's definitely not like alpha beta testing.
Uh-huh.
But it's not... But it isn't what I would say feature complete.
Okay, yeah.
Is what I would say. And there is this link here, line 34 now, Cody, from... renewablepcs.com. I'm sorry, renewablepcs.wordpress.com. This to me was a decent write-up if you're a text-driven person, because the first thing I did, of course, was shared it to my Git Pocket on my phone, and then I did a listen TTS, I believe it is, and it audibly read this article to me. This was a decent write-up on the basics about the different desktops available on Linux, and it goes through GNOME, Unity, Cinnamon, Mate, KDE, XFCE, LXDE, Enlightenment, and Razer QT. See, Budgie isn't even mentioned here. That's how, like, in a year or whatever, everyone will have Budgie in their list here. But if you want to know about all the other desktops, I honestly found this to be a pretty good write-up. I'm not going to say it tells you everything you need to know about everything, but it tells you at least all about the default applications that come with it, the default file manager that comes with it, the look and feel of it, some of the basic features about it. So I definitely thought this was a good resource. It also gives you what how much hardware you should have for each.
Good. It does show the hardware requirements.
Not for each, but only for the ones that they felt it necessary to put down. I'll say that.
Well, that's good, and to have a new article like this cycle through, especially a reputable site like this, is always good to have on hand, because as a Linux user and as someone who might be helping to convert some of their friends and family over, or if you go to a Linux user group, you're going to eventually, as a user, even as a new user, you may have someone start to ask you, well, hey, I got this old laptop. What do you think I should put on it? Or, hey, I got this machine, or I got this. I'm looking to install Linux on machine X, and it might be something that's powerful enough to run, you know, like the stock Ubuntu with Unity. However, it might be an older machine where you want to have one more lightweight desktop environment. And at least running one of these in a live instance, just to have a feel for them, be able to speak to them, will not only help you help others, but also give you an idea of what you would want to run. For instance, when GNOME 2 went away, officially not a support anymore. And Genoma 3 came out. I, along with pretty much everybody else, was kicking and screaming, just like, oh, this is so different. I don't like it at all. It's this bad. But now, compared to a lot of other stuff on the market, I do like Mate. I'm going to try Ubuntu Mate again. Martin Wimpress is doing some fantastic work over there. But my default that I go to right now is just GNOME 3 on everything I've ever run over there, maybe the past year and a half, just because I've gotten used to it. I don't feel like I'm compromising. I feel like it's come a long way. Even Linus himself hated it, and then now I believe he uses it on Fedora at home and on his production machines. So
yeah, I mean, I have to pull the Reddit and tip my hat to Martin Wimpress for his work with Ubuntu Mate, but I feel like I was invited to a Ubuntu Mate community on Google Plus, and I'm like, you know, hospice is a real thing for a reason. It's where people go when they're getting ready to die. That means we're not going to do everything in our power to keep something alive. And that's what I feel Mate is. Mate is already years past where it GNOME 2-like interface should have been dead.
Right.
Just dead. Mm-hmm. Move on. People got rid of VCRs. People got rid of CD players, at least most of them. People got rid of 8-track players. People are getting rid of all that stuff. People need to get rid of that mentality, I'll say, for desktops. And if you want that same look and feel, well, configure KDE, configure GNOME, configure XFCE, configure Razer QT, configure LXD, configure something that is built off to look like and act like that. I don't understand the "you're not going to take this desktop out of my cold, dead right. hand" yeah. kind of grip mentality. Yeah. I just don't get that.
Yeah.
And I'm old and I'm gray and I should understand that and I should embrace that, but I don't.
He is the grumpiest of all grumps, trust me, out of all of them that I know. He has a special chair.
Well, he is British.
No. I mean you. You.
Oh, yeah. No,
you,
not me.
You have a special chair hose and hose spout just for spraying water at kids, telling them to get off your lawn.
And birds.
Yes, and birds.
But, like, reading this write-up, the one thing I got to say that really does, like, remind me just how far we've came in everything, in computing. Mm-hmm. Enlightenment. Enlightenment, I don't think of as a chintzy desktop. I actually think of it as a pretty full-featured desktop, a pretty smooth desktop. It says required RAM for Enlightenment is 64 megabytes of RAM. Required CPU, 200 megahertz. So that's how tight, that's how well, I will say, Enlightenment is coded.
Wow.
I'm a firm believer now, as I get old, messy code, sloppy code, people requiring libraries and stuff that they don't understand are the desktops where you need to have a gig plus of RAM. And it's because you're taking so much of the responsibility of running light out of your hands, and you're just writing towards libraries. You're writing towards somebody else's code base, where Enlightenment, I believe, is trying to do everything themselves. So I thought this was a really good article. Look it up. Go ahead and email me and tell me how wrong I am about whatever desktops. But it's not going to change the fact that we don't use the classic start menu in Windows 95 anymore for a reason. Because it's not 95 anymore.
That's right. And if you have
back in 95, my hair was black. I was single and I had a motorcycle.
I wonder let's see. Oh, well, that would have been 24-year-old Stephen McLaughlin, right?
No, it has to be older than that.
Well,
you're right. You're right.
23, 24-year-old. I would love to hang out with that guy. He sounds like quite the... And I know that it's close to that year age. Because
he was much worse. He was much less talkative, much more isolative. He would once in a while just walk for 15, 20 miles, stopping at bars, slamming a beer, and then just continuing walking again, getting in fist fights, and immediately calling the cops up saying, "I was attacked. I was attacked. Can you believe I was attacked?"
Okay.
And they would come scrape a guy off the ground and put him in jail. He wasn't a fun guy.
Well, I would have liked to at least meet him, or maybe fight him. that would have created an awful dynamic for the show.
All you needed to be was really quick with that right, and I would have never seen it coming.
Okay. But I know that it was about that old back in 95, because you just celebrated a birthday. And that was yesterday, right?
Yes.
Or is it today?
Today.
It is today. Happy birthday. Huh? Door. It's Door's birthday. I'm not going to sing the song because I'm not going to embarrass him. Seems like we may have had a connection issue, but I'm just going to keep going here. Oh, yeah, here we go. But yeah, I do wish Door a happy birthday. One more year above ground is a good year. And hopefully, I know he had a good past year. I saw it in all the cool Google Plus posts that he made. So I'm happy to have you around again, brother.
Oh yeah, and I'm having lots of fun doing the whole Podnuts thing, going to the conferences. Again, I can't encourage people enough. Go to conferences, sit down and chat with people, sit down and talk with people. Met some fantastic people, and I honestly, Kevin O'Brien and more than a couple people have been harassing me now for 2 years. Gently, kindly, very friendly, harassing me to go to PenguinCon. If it is at all close to Northwest Linux Fest next year, I'm sorry. I'm not voluntarily going to an extremely crime-ridden city where the politicians poison entire counties of their residents. Why would I pass up beautiful landscapes, awesome water views, mountain views, unbelievably nice people, some fantastic brewed beer, right, locally sourced, small batch,
single batch,
organically grown, or yeah. Single batch, yes, beer for a crime-laden city. I live by a crime-laden city. I want to get away from crime-laden cities.
So you'll already be acclimated then by the time you get there, no problem.
And I really do say that with nothing but love in my heart, because there's great people who live up by there. Kevin lives up by there.
Yeah.
Jeff Hallish lives up by there.
Oh, nice.
Red ain't too far from there. And I know there's at least three or four other people I know who live up by there.
Is it Mary T?
So it isn't that the people ain't there.
Yeah.
Oh, Mary is right there. Tom Lawrence is right there.
And Tony,
they're
right?
All right,
yeah, Tony,
there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. And trust me, I would love to sit down again with Mary, Tom, and Tony and sit down at the meal, BSing, talking stuff. But I don't want to look over my shoulder if I think I hear gunshots.
So
we're if I'm at Northwest Linux Fest and I think I hear a gunshot, somebody just shot a moose,
right. Or they just opened up a bottle of beer that was in a champagne bottle with a cork on it.
Yeah, something
which happened a few times in our hotel room. No big deal.
Right, and please again, feel free to email me and tell me just how wrong I am and how ignorant I am. But
Dor, I think that your view of Detroit is probably based in 1970s cop dramas and comedies.
No.
Like,
I literally know a guy who less than a year ago bought 6 blocks of houses. Do you know why?
Because they were $1 a piece.
Because nobody's living in them.
Right.
Because they were abandoned. And he literally spent something like $6,000 something like that for 6 blocks of houses.
Wow.
Granted, it used to be a huge, gigantic city.
Yeah.
Huge, gigantic. Like, Baltimore is a little thumb stamp, tiny super city. I can drive all around that thing in less than an hour.
Okay.
Not that I'd want to, mind you.
No.
But again, feel free. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. Any comments on Door's comments, you can email him directly at steve@smdcomputers.net.
Yeah. Or doordoorgeek@gmail.com. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, I'm up there.
I already don't read my emails.
We'll read them on the show. Well, don't you... You posted something today or yesterday about a new text-to-speech, text-to-speech through, is it through Android or is it through an app?
Oh, yeah, through Android. All you got to do is select text.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to voice-to-text stuff, which I'm going to be abusing the crap out of that thing.
Of course you are. Yeah, because you're lazy and you don't like to read big paragraphs of text.
No, because I'm severely ADHD. I'm unmedicated because I don't like what the medication does to me. That's my excuse. I'm sticking with it. Can't prove me wrong. And I just don't have the patience to sit through and read paragraphs of text. And unfortunately, on a phone, something that looks like a dissertation, when I get to a desktop and open it up, I'm like, wow, that's only like 3 sentences.
Right. Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah. Why did it seem so long on a phone?
You're not lazy. You're just selective of your time. That's all.
And it's been proven artificial selection can be a beneficial thing.
fantastic. I couldn't think of a better note to end the show on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a small batch, organically, yes, locally sourced.
Local source, yeah.
Grown.
I will throw out a teaser for next week. I think we'll be recording again soon. Hopefully next week, if not the week after. But if you're following me on Google Plus, I recently did install Steam OS on a second hard drive in my new machine. So if you want to hear about all that, definitely tune in to the next show, because I'll go in about that. And that'll be episode 199. Then we got 200, baby. Right after that. Wow. What are we going to do? I don't know. Get the champagne ready, though.
Yeah. I am very interested to hear about that, because I would like it soon, maybe not now, but soon, to be able to build my son a world-class PC gaming rig sooner or later. Of course, he's going to have to work for it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll definitely give my review of it. And I put quite a few hours into it already, and then by the time we record next time, I would have already had even more experience with it, so stay tuned for that.
Very cool.
Cool, man. All right. Well, hey, Dor, thank you once again for joining me on the show. If you guys want to send in an email, send it to podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com. And if you want to do a voicemail, it is 1-707. Is it 707-676?
707-6-PODNUT.
Yeah. 1-707-6-PODNUT. Yeah. Call it in. Leave us a voicemail, preferably under 2 minutes. We'll play it on the show. If you know, under 60 seconds, fantastic, even better. If not, if you want to do a little bit longer of a message, break it up, send us 2 voicemails. We'll totally play them on the show. But thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. But please do not forget that Linux is not just for the rest of us. It is for all of us. Good night.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.